May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. At the beginning of sermons, preachers will often say an introduction line, such as, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Or another one is, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. This morning I decided to use the latter introduction because I did really struggle with writing this sermon. So it is my prayer that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, which I am to preach this morning, is acceptable to God. Because personally I find this a harder passage to preach on than last week, and I don't think I am alone in this. I'm sure that the Gospel's original readers probably found Jesus' uncompromising statements about divorce and remarriage as challenging and countercultural as we do today. Divorce in the first century was a generally accepted part of life, both among the Jews and perhaps more widely among the Greco-Roman culture. There were, of course, those leaders that did speak out against divorce, as they felt it was bad for society. But for the most part, people argued about the details of its legal basis, not its moral. For the Jewish people, the key legal text was found in Deuteronomy 24. In this text, divorce is assumed and it prescribes procedures for carrying it out. There is, however, an interesting text in Malachi that questions the permissibility of divorce. I'm sure you noted in the Gospel this morning that the Pharisees talked about the man divorcing his wife. That is because only the husband could write a letter of divorce. At the time of Jesus, there was a variety of teachings for what was a divorceable offence. But a woman could be dismissed from her marriage for displeasing her husband, as is the wording in Deuteronomy. Some schools of thought required marital infidelity, but some needed far less. But whatever the case, a woman was completely powerless in the situation, and women were always the victims of divorce. And this is the context in which we find Jesus in today. Once again, Jesus and the disciples are confronted, as happens regularly, by the Pharisees. In this confrontation, they wish to trap Jesus into a debate about the law, specifically around divorce. The Pharisees' hopes are that Jesus will proclaim something that goes against the Jewish teaching at the time, and thus be able to be accused of heresy and be condemned as a false teacher. Jesus, however, is not trapped, but turns the conversation with the Pharisees away from the legal foundation for divorce to God's design for marriage. Jesus dismisses the law as a concession to human weakness and offers a different perspective rooted in creation. Here we should note that Jesus uses the first creation narrative, in which man and woman are made at the same time, not the second narrative, in which women are made from the man's rib. While this might seem like a small detail, we see throughout this confrontation Jesus placing men and women equally, which, as we know, was not the usual case at the time. Jesus' rebuttal to the Pharisees describes marriage as a strong and literally unifying bond between two people. It is because he sees marriage in such a way that he speaks against divorce as he does. While I have been married only coming up 2 years, and I'm sure that some of you have been married for far longer, when I think of marriage, I think of the very commonly used 1 Corinthians passage that you find at many weddings. This passage reads, Love is patience. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. And I think that when Jesus is condemning divorce, he is condemning it because he envisions all marriages to be made in God's image found in Genesis, and to be of the love we hear in Corinthians. This is a marriage in which both people become one, their lives transformed, so that it is not about themselves anymore or their interests, but about the life and interests as a married couple. A marriage in which you treat the other person better than yourself and love them as God loves us. Jesus says that if we follow God and his plan for marriage, divorce would not be needed. But, as the expression goes, we are all human. Before working for the Dunedin Diocese, I worked in Christchurch as a social worker in an agency that specialised in providing Christian foster homes for children and young people who have had to be removed from their homes due to safety concerns. In this role, I saw many families in which there was violence, substance abuse, abuse of children, and much more. In fact, in many, not all, but in many of the families, the mother was also a victim. There would never be a time where I would say that these women should stay with a husband or partner and keep being harmed. And I strongly don't believe Jesus would either. I believe that he knows as humans we fail and do not stand up to God's expectation of us. Jesus knows that we make mistakes and sometimes end up in situations that are not healthy for us, and that we need to leave these situations. These relationships do not reflect what God wants us to have in a relationship. These relationships are not made in the image of God, not made of love, patience, kindness, and are not of one flesh. So Jesus is not commanding those in unhealthy relationships to stay and be hurt, but for those in healthy relationships not to run because they see something they like more. As Jesus goes on and teaches his disciples in private, he does not talk about the rejected partner in a divorce and of their remarriage. He seems to be speaking against those who leave their partner for another person. Jesus is saying that divorce does not offer a legal loophole to justify adultery. That is, his strongest words are against those who initiate divorce as a means to get something else, sacrificing a spouse to satisfy one's desire or ambition. Now, I know that not everyone here is married. Some have been and some haven't been. But I think we can all learn from this passage about how we behave in relationship with each other. Are we Christ-like in our dealings with our family, friends and strangers? Or do we forget to love and have kindness for each other? I ask that over the coming week, you contemplate the way God envisions our relationships with each other to be like, and how, like the rest of us, we can improve our interactions with each other to better reflect God's expectations. Amen.